Sports Radio FNZ, Willie P here in the building. I tell you what, is there one thing in the world that people don't get defensive about more than grilling apparatus? Because I got my guy, who is this on the text line? Joseph, who's angry I didn't buy a Rectech. Just saying. I will say this, graduating from propane to the pellet smoker is, I understand it's not the charcoal, and we had this discussion earlier in the week. Graduating from propane, that was a hard leap for me. To basically sit here and say, okay, you know what, I want to get better, I want to better my backyard mode, is how that is. And I know I can hear my future wife right now sitting here and saying, Willie, why didn't you research it? I said, I did. I very much did. I researched this about as much as I researched my sports talk, which, again, I know a lot of you people probably think the sports talk is not well researched, but it was very well researched. So I feel fortified in my decision. I don't need your approval. Fitty that I did the right thing.
When do we get to start
sampling the meat?
Tasting your meat.
It'll be there on the weekend. So I'm gonna get in the lab here a little bit. I don't want to do anything for a mass audience before I actually try it out myself.
I mean, you can just bring some by the station on Monday. You know,
I think I'm gonna crawl before I can walk.
You know, just grill.
I think I'll just crawl before I can walk, and I'm not gonna put the full brisket flat on there right off the bat.
Yeah, because I mean, Wilson's brought in food he's made over the weekend.
Has he?
He has.
I think that Wilson would be rather stingy about that kind of thing.
No, he's brought in some ribs.
How come I've never had any of Wilson's ribs?
And when Flounder and I, we pulled the weekend stunt up here when the snow was coming in.
Yes.
He came in and dropped off some barbecue.
Look at that. Wilson, how about that?
So
I never got any barbecue from Wilson.
The expectation is to try your meat sooner rather than later.
I understand. Joe Person, who very much supports the decision about the Traeger grill, he'll join me coming up at 11:20. We'll get back into the Panthers. But I do want to at least talk some NBA draft with you guys because, to be honest, I'd have talked it yesterday, but there was just so much stuff coming out, not just on the trade markets for the Hornets, but also the stuff on the head coaching position with D'Antoni and the reports involving him meeting with MJ. But as far as the guys who will be available for the Charlotte Hornets, I feel like there is this center discussion, and I believe it's a central discussion about the center, about whether or not the better option is Jalen Duren or Mark Williams. I personally prefer Williams, even though I think Duren might profile as the better NBA player. I do feel like, though, he's probably going to go sooner, and that's something that James Herbert kind of gave us the back and forth between the two in terms of those two players and how they're different, how they're similar.
For Charlotte, like, this team has desperately needed more bigs, and I think there are a couple of guys who might be there, namely Jalen Duren and Mark Williams, who I think would fit well. They're very different players. Duren, the kind of guy you can just imagine him catching lobs from LaMelo and finishing like crazy, getting out there on the break. Williams is a guy who you could see just kind of being that defensive anchor when he's out there pretty much immediately. And Charlotte has been desperate for a guy like that. I think if either one of those guys is available at 13, that would make a lot of sense.
And I think Duren, you don't get the rim protection there you get from Williams. Williams will probably get scoring from 17 feet and in, and you'll get defense. He's probably the more well-rounded player and, quite honestly, the more ready NBA player, which is why I don't understand why it seems like he'll be available for the Hornets at 13, and they don't think Duren will, but they think the upside is higher on Duren. I'm still somewhat skeptical about it myself, but if he came to the Hornets, I wouldn't mind rolling with that project. It's just, how many projects are we going to undertake? Like, you know, where does the Jalen Duren product fit? Where does the Jalen Duren project, if I could speak, fit with the Kai Jones project, fit with the JT Thor project? Like, where in the priority scheme of the projects that the Hornets have? Because we should just call them, you know, a team that just is full of those kind of guys.
And also, if you're not hiring a developmental coach, does it make sense to draft another project? Like if you hire,
really trying to get me rat again, aren't you?
Like if you're hiring Mike D'Antoni or Terry Stotts, you need to draft Mark Williams.
Why are you choosing violence right now?
No, I'm being dead serious.
No, I know. I'm being serious, but you're triggering me. Is what you're doing.
And so I think that's got to factor in here. Like Duren's upside, yeah, it's way higher than Mark Williams. Mark Williams is going to be a, you know, he might
you
be
know
a,
what you're getting with him.
He's going to be maybe a 20-24 minute guy. Who's going to give you probably, you know, 6 to 8 points, 8 to 10 rebounds, couple block shots, and he can't guard on the perimeter.
Is he Kevon Looney? Is that what he is? Probably better than that.
I mean, I think his ceiling could be better, but like Looney's like in a perfect situation. Like you put Kevin Looney anywhere else or Kevon Looney anywhere else, he's not that same player, right?
Well, no, he's supported and anchored by a cast of stars.
The Hornets need a guy that can get put back dunks. He'd basically be a younger, more glorified Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah,
I'd honestly,
bigger than Montrezl
is what Mark Williams would be here. And he has the lob threat. He can run up and down the court if you're in a system like a D'Antoni where you want to get up and down. So like for me, like he's the safe pick. I'm thinking him at 13 if I'm trading away 15.
I'm feeling very, very comfortable if they take Mark Williams at 13. Jay Billis does as well.
You know, he's a shot blocker, shot changer, and he can really change ends. Like, he really runs. He's a lob threat. And I think he's going to be able to shoot the ball from 17 feet. Who knows, maybe beyond, because he makes his free throws. You know, he's a 74% free throw shooter, which is very good.
And I do feel like from where the Hornets sit, that's very much a safe way to go, like Fitty said. Now, we can get into later on at 12:20 what that particular option means if the Hornets are going to trade up or trade for other pieces. Now, some of the other guys you're looking at, we mentioned Oshae Igbaji yesterday from Kansas. He's somebody who brings a little bit of something different.
What was that first name again?
Isn't it Oshae?
Ochai Igbaji?
Ochai. He's from Kansas. So again, you know how I feel about Kansas.
You and I feel the same way about Kansas. But Ochai Igbaji.
Here's Billis on Igbaji.
But he's athletic, and he can really shoot it. He most of the year he's shooting around 50% from three. He led the Big 12 in scoring, and he's a really good player. And he's one of those plug and play guys that can kind of 3-and-D. He can knock down perimeter shots and stretch the floor. And then he's a solid defender. I wouldn't say he's a stopper, but a solid defender. He's really solid in just about every area.
And I do feel like that could be the good secondary option at the 15 spot for the Hornets, because I do feel like you do need to at least get something on the wing to help you out, especially if you end up getting rid of Gordon Hayward, because your wing depth right now is rather thin. Which I find, again, somewhat galling when you're talking about all these developmental pieces for the Charlotte Hornets. A lot of them are at the 4 and 5 position. They're not in the backcourt, and they're not on the wing. And that's the part of it, other than Cody Martin, who you have developed and turned into a free agent, which I feel like is going to be very, very hard for them to re-sign, given all the constraints they have right now when it comes to the NBA salary cap.
When I take away my personal feelings about Ochai Igbaji, he'd be a great addition to this Hornets bench. He could be a guy that you could develop, and he could be a starter two or three years down the road. But they need scoring options off the bench. They need a guy that can also play on the court off the bench and not hurt you defensively. That's the biggest problem with Kelly Oubre and James Bouknight, where they were liabilities defensively. Igbaji, you would figure, wouldn't be one of those types of players. So if they keep both the picks and you get Mark Williams at 13 or Igbaji at 15, it's not the same feeling as last draft when you got Kai Jones and James Bouknight, but you would leave tomorrow night feeling rather well about the future of your roster moving forward.
What's the name of the guy who wore number 1 for the Hornets and played point guard? Come on. What's his name? 5'3". Little guy, but amazing heart.
Muggsy Bogues.
Muggsy?
No, his name is Muggsy Bogues.
Oh, you actually said it right now.
Yeah, I now can pronounce his name correctly. Okay, were you trying to get back at me for the whole Ochai thing?
I'm just saying that's awful rich if coming from you. Awful rich. Thank you to Casey Steve, by the way, who reminded me of that moment. Barry says getting rid of Cody Martins is a mistake. The only defense that we've had. Please keep our defense intact. What little bit we have. I think he's trying to say intact. I think that's a voice to text situation. But he says he wants to keep defense intact with little we have and build on it. Now, again, I'm not sure, and I'm not trying to sound insulting to Cody Martin. I'm not sure if Cody Martin is a good defender or just looks good because he's the best that we have. Because I do feel like he is that option for the Hornets to try and keep and retain here. But if it comes down to retaining Cody Martin and getting a player who is a better two-way player that you might be regress a little bit defensively and get somebody who's a better offensive player. Again, I know that this might sound like double talk when I'm saying that, hey, you know, you need better offensive players. That's something that James Herbert said yesterday on our air. He said that they need guys who are not just fully offensive players or just fully defensive players. Because Cody Martin, as a defender, locked down, probably a luxury for a better team. For the Hornets, it's probably something that they can't afford to keep if they want to, quote-unquote, progress. Like what is Cody Martin gonna command on the open market? 30, 40 million? Like I'm asking honestly, Fitty, do you feel like Cody Martin commands that kind of contract on the open market?
I'd say 30 at the max, right? Like, I mean, 40 if you're going to like Orlando or Detroit or one of those, Sacramento.
Someone's overpaying for that.
But like, if you're wanting to stay on a contending team, maybe 30 million because, you know, he's a great he is a good defender. Now, he looks great on the horns because of how bad the other guys are defending the ball, especially on the perimeter.
True.
I think the other thing about with him is how much of the culture do you want to lose? You know, if you're going to trade away a Gordon Hayward, a Terry Rozier, that's part of your culture that you've built. You've developed Cody Martin.
They showed how much they cared about the culture when they gave James Borrego a pink slip.
That's also very fair. Now, I'm not saying you need to overpay to keep Cody Martin here from a culture aspect.
I also don't know if, again, maybe part of this is shedding the roster so you have more spots on the roster like Matt and Gbo brings. So, I mean, I don't know if there's spots for more draft picks on the roster. Oh, by the way, you're going to get another one in the second round, which is probably ticketed for Greensboro anyway. So the question marks around what they do with these picks, we will carry over to the 12-20 segment because we have to make a very concerted effort to parse through a lot of the quote-unquote noise in the NBA circles because the Hornets, as they always seem to be, are being rumored with every deal under the sun because they're always constantly trying to improve. The one we heard yesterday with Miles Turner and Gordon Hayward is incredibly intriguing to me, even though it might not be to other people, because at the end of the day, it gets Gordon off the books. If you can get Gordon off the books for Westbrook, I know that people think Westbrook is a triggering figure, but I'd rather, you know, take the medicine now with him if it gets Gordon out of here. And again, I'm not trying to sit here and run Gordon Hayward out of town, but that is a contract that we know right now is an albatross around the neck of the Charlotte Hornets. It is the Nick Wilson Show on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ. We'll get into that coming up later on in the show. We have Willie's Panic Meter, by the way, coming up a half hour from right now. We will get into some different stories across the sports world and in Charlotte, and I will give my Panic Meter rating for them. But first, we'll get back into the Panthers with Joe Person of The Athletic. We'll talk not just the quarterback options, but what he gleaned at all from OTAs and minicamp. That comes your way next on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ.
This team has to be real contenders for the playoffs. They're, you know, we got to be covering this team in week 15, 16, and 17, and the Panthers are right there in the hunt. And it can't be the shoe-in graphic where they're in the hunt, but the you know, that at the bottom and just kind of throwing them in there because there's room. They need to seriously be in playoff contention, I believe, for Matt Rhule to keep his job.
That was Dallas Williams of the Charlotte Observer yesterday on the Nick Wilson Show, Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ, talking about what needs to happen for Matt Rhule to keep his job. I think that's kind of the universally accepted answer to that question, but there are plenty of questions about the Carolina Panthers that we need answered, not just before training camp, but hopefully when training camp comes here about a month from now at Wofford. And who is part of that press corps that we love so much is our pal Joe Person, who joins us from The Athletic and joins us on the Telecom Hotline. What's up, JP? How are you, pal?
What's going on, dude? How's your summer?
Summer's good, you know, closed on the house, getting ready to try and break out the grill and figure out how to use it. So we're trying to make it happen. We will have the pelagic housewarming party. Your invitation will come pretty soon, I promise.
I'm going to crash that party. You don't have to even send me an invitation. I'd prefer to crash it. I kind of like that. That's kind of how I roll.
So in terms of crashing the party for the Carolina Panthers, you know, we were talking about this over the last couple of days. Nothing seems close on the quarterback decision, but parsing their comments, they don't necessarily seem pleased with where Sam is at this point going into training camp.
Yeah, a couple things. Certainly, having gone through minicamp, you know, with that coming and going without a Baker deal, then there's no real urgency now. There's no real deadline. And as I mentioned this morning in the Athletic, there's also the fact that a lot of these GMs and coaches and front offices are on vacation. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you can certainly do a deal from your lake house or beach house with a cell phone or a Zoom. I get it. But I think that more than anything, like, you know, deadlines spur action in this league and in every professional league. And I think now I don't think the Baker talk's going away. And I just think that now it's, you know, going to be a little bit closer to training camp, I think, before that heats back up again.
There seems to be this debate now, independent of the circumstances, about which of the two quarterbacks fits Carolina better. Do you feel it's a Baker fit or a Jimmy fit, or do you feel like it's more just the circumstances because of Baker being able to be attained somewhat easier than Jimmy G?
Yeah, I think the latter. I think either of them, to me, man, are upgrades over Sam Darnold, but they're not huge upgrades. And I understand Garoppolo's played in a Super Bowl and almost a second one, but like we all understand what that looked like and how he had a very good defense, a very good running game, and he was a game manager, but it's a good one. I mean, I think you plug him in here and I think he'd do pretty well. I think he'd be a good fit for the Ben McAdoo offense. Not that Mayfield would be a bad fit, but I think all things being equal, which they aren't salary wise, I would lean toward Garoppolo. So, you know, I, again, part of my article today addressing this as part of a roster projection I did, I think it would take Garoppolo getting cut for the Panthers really to get in on that. You know, otherwise, even if you restructured his deal, it's going to be a bigger number than clearly they think they can get Baker Mayfield for. So when the Browns finally, you know, when these two sides finally come to agreement, which I still think's going to happen. I mean, unless there's some surprise team out there, be it Seattle or Houston or who knows what, that makes a run for Baker late. I mean, the Panthers, you know, seem to be the most interested and most likely team as we move forward into July.
What is the most hotly contested roster spot right now from your projections that you look at for the Panthers that we'll be watching when we sit down in Wofford in the baking sun in late July, early August?
You know, the two position groups that I ended up cutting a bunch of guys who were on this team last year were the secondary and also the offensive line. And the offensive line makes sense because they went out and, you know, upgraded with Corbett and Bradley Bozeman. But I guess the point I was making is you did the numbers on the line. Like, I think Dennis Daly could be in jeopardy. But then even one of their recent draft picks, like Cade Mays or Deontay Brown, and again, these weren't high draft picks, both six-rounders each of the last 2 years. I don't know that there's room for both of those guys, maybe neither of them, to make the team. But again, we've seen a little of Deontay, and so I put Cade Mays on the roster just for the simple fact that he's in the more recent draft class, and we nor the Panthers have had much of a look at him yet. So, and then secondary, kind of the same thing. They didn't make as many upgrades, but you get a healthy J.C. Horn back. You get a Kalen Barnes that you draft in the seventh round. Xavier Woods. So they did bring in some guys, re-signed Justin Burris. So then I had guys like Sean Chandler, Sam Franklin, and Stanley Thomas Oliver all missing out and being on the wrong side of the cut. But I pointed out in there, all three of those guys were pretty solid, dependable special teams players last year. So that's not insignificant. And so it would not be a shock if they end up with a spot. And Chris Westry, who's another newcomer I should mention, ends up the odd man out, or Justin Burris or somebody like that, or even Kalen Barnes. I mean, seventh rounder, as you know, is no guarantee, but a lot more competition for some of those down the roster spots, I think.
Joe Person, The Athletic, covering the Panthers with us here on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ as we look at the Panther roster. I know that the Damian Wilson thing is still kind of out there, but factoring that into the discussion, how satisfied are you with the linebacker position?
It's hard to say. I think Corey Littleton is going to be someone interesting to watch at camp because, you can't really put much onus on what we saw out there at OTAs and minicamp when defense isn't really able to do much. I mean, they're running around and trying to get to their fits, but then nobody's obviously making tackles. They don't even have full pads on. So, I mean, his background. I mean, he was a really pretty productive 125 tackle a year guy for two seasons in LA, gets the big deal from Vegas, and just becomes kind of just a guy and not making any impact plays. And the Raiders cut him. And, Damian Wilson too. I want to see him, obviously, but Corey Littleton, I have kind of trouble sort of filling out those fifth and sixth linebacker spots. I put Littleton on, but I mean, we saw last year, that Matt Rhule is not afraid to go ahead and cut a linebacker shortly after getting to camp. The other position too, as you kind of typed out the four tight ends names, it's sort of like, this group could look like it could stand a little we've been talking a lot about it, edge rusher, and I do think they will add somebody there. But there are a couple other position groups where you're thinking, they see someone in the waiver wire, tight end could be a spot they look to add to.
Yeah, I was thinking about tight end as well. There's not really a lot behind Tremble. I know that they use Colin Thompson as an extra blocker at times. I know that we've seen a couple of flashes from Stephen Sullivan, but again, that is in shorts and t-shirts. Right. And I also think too, for whatever reason, there was just a different feel last year, maybe just because we didn't get it, but I almost feel like the way they approached minicamp this year was a lot more developmental than it was. I felt like for when you're trying to do a new offensive install, we saw a lot less of the main guys than I think that we were bargaining on. Did you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, in fairness, I think they had semi-intense OTAs.
True.
And I think, Matt Rhule telling us that the plan had been to make that sort of the impetus. And then minicamp, he wanted to see, as you mentioned, Will, some of the younger guys, what they had in these guys. And I think some guys stepped to the forefront with that, Terrace Marshall being one of them. Rashard Higgins came on late in really, again, we're there one day a week for OTAs.
Right.
During minicamp, Higgins, the last couple of days, really caught my eye, was catching a lot of passes. And then Chris Westry, I think you and I were sitting next to each other in the stadium that day, the last day of minicamp, and he was, you know, as Rule said, like a 6'4" corner, you know, it's hard to miss him. And he and the Panthers saw him for the first time really last summer with the joint practices, during the joint practices with the Ravens. So I'm interested to see him a little more. I mean, he's kind of raw, but showed up big in the red zone last week, you know, knocking, had real tight coverage on Terrace Marshall, I think one play, and then he knocked it. And these were against, like, again, he wasn't going against Robbie Anderson or DJ Moore, but he was going against Sam Darnold, and he had another pass breakup in the end zone on one of Darnold's, I think, fade passes. So Chris Westry kind of caught my eye late in minicamp.
Does Brian Burns end training camp with a new deal?
I don't think so. I think they, I think DJ Moore, I think the timeline with him, and every situation is different, so you might be wrong, but or I might be wrong. I just think that we saw Scott Fitter, they basically do what the DJ Moore, where you pick up his fifth year option, you let him play his fourth year, and then you extend him. Now, would Burns be okay with that plan? You know, would you have an unhappy camper? I don't know. I think it's pretty clear that Brian Burns is a part of this team's future, and they know they're going to, an edge rusher is not going to come cheap. But I would be surprised, not shocked, but a little surprised if they do a deal, get a deal done with Burns before this fourth season.
Were you surprised that Dunlap didn't leave here with a deal? Because I still am not. I know they can talk up Frankie Louvu and Haynes and all those guys all they want. I'd like somebody more solid over there.
Yeah, a little bit surprised. And I wonder if they just – but early on in that visit, I was getting kind of wind that – catching wind that it wasn't going to end with a deal. That to me sounded like maybe they're too far apart on numbers and just sort of wanted to kind of have a little – introduction to both sides and see where it went. But I don't think there's any question that Phil Snow is a master at creating mismatches, and you know, like what he did with Frankie Louvu, what he's done with some other players, Chin. But yeah, I mean, you can only smoke and mirrors that for so long in this league. And you know, losing Hassan Reddick was a big, I mean, that's 11 sacks. You know, just a huge locker room presence, even though we weren't in the locker room, everyone you talked to, he became very quickly a leader on that defense. So I'm with you. I think they will, and it might not be until, you know, camp or even late August at cutdowns that they pick somebody up off the waiver wire, and go that direction.
Joe Person of The Athletic can find his 53-man roster projection. He admits it's way too early to make this, but it does give you at least a little bit of a window into what the Panthers might be thinking in terms of the roster we'll see on September the 11th. I'll probably see you on my porch later on this summer, pal. Thank you.
I'll look forward to it, man. Have a good week.
That's Joe Person joining us here on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ. It's funny how you have invited yourself all the way over to my house, and now Joe Person has invited himself all the way over to my house. Do I just give off this vibe? Is that I'm just this inviting person? Is that what it is?
I think it's more the fact that me and Joe Person are
bullies. You're bullies.
Or, you know, we're daddies. We just invite ourselves wherever we want to go.
I don't know if Joe wants to be called a or your or any daddy.
This is the daddy show. You've got Big Daddy. When Will Kunkel's on, he's the daddy.
And when I'm on, I'm Bougie Daddy.
I'm Little Daddy.
It's all
so
good.
So Joe Person has a daddy moniker. We just got to find out which one it is.
We have a panic meter to also figure out with a bunch of items on the news front, including where I am in the Miles Bridges departure rumor panic meter issue. Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ.
Mm-hmm.
Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ. Texter from the 704 said, "Hey, Will, I'm going to stop by at 1 on Sunday." Because of all the people who are inviting themselves. And even Shaked Bartal. Hey, Shaked, quit bashing Charlotte FC. Maybe you will get an invite to the Willie P. Summer Throwdown Bash.
Ooh, shots fired.
Sorry. I don't take shots from people lying down. Like, I'm not just one of these people who just lies down when shots are taken. I see you, Amit Patel. Trust me, I'm burning over something he said about my Charlotte FC broadcast style earlier on in the season. During a Mac and Bone What's Your Beef Wednesday, he said that he thought that that my style was somewhat undignified.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
I enjoy your soccer style.
Again, it's not for everybody, but, you know, pound salt if you don't like it. It is time to, as we time to time do whenever I get to fill in, you know, I usually try to do everybody's bits because I'm a very accommodating person. I don't want to ever rearrange the furniture, if you will. I want everybody to feel like they get kind of the same experience, but just with the Willie P. flair, if you will, or a Willie P. style, if you will. But one of the things that I like to do whenever I come in here is do a little thing we like to call a Willie's panic meter. And so it is time for the panic meter. And Josh Marlowe, Itty Bitty Fitty, has, if you've not heard this bit before, Josh Marlowe will give me a statement, a item, a news thing, or anything that's going on in the world of sports. I will rank it 1 to 10. If it's in the higher portion of the scale, you hear a shrieking sound effect. If it's lower, Willie P. is cool with it. Panic meter time begins. Itty bitty fitty.
All right, let's go back to the end of the last segment where we were talking about all the daddies. We got Big Daddy, Little Daddy, The Daddy. How panicked are you that you are 36 years old and time maybe running out on you becoming a daddy?
First, it's 35.
35? Oh.
I just turned 35. Why are you going to argue with me with my own ages?
Well, you said you were born in 86.
87. I said I was conceived in 86.
Oh, okay. You weren't conceived and born in the same year. I got you.
Correct.
Okay. How panicked are you?
I'm an April baby. So.
How panicked are you that the time could be running on you becoming a daddy?
I'm at a two. Elevated.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think we are going to start trying right away. Like, it's... Trust me, that's a common bond that my future wife and I have right here. I have no worries. No worries at all.
I can't wait to meet Papa Pelagic.
I mean, it's going to be a very seamless transition from, you know, me as I am to dad life, because I very much am kind of a dad humor type person. I already do wear flip-flops as a 35-year-old man, and much to the chagrin of Itty Bitty Fitty. Although today I did wear boat shoes today.
You did.
So, you know, take that.
All right, now let's get back to the sports. Mike D'Antoni meeting with Michael Jordan today. Sources and location are unknown as of right now. How panicked are you that the Bucks are going to hire Mike D'Antoni as the next head coach of the franchise?
I'm at a 9. And again, it's not for any other reason other than I don't see why you fire a guy who is an offensive-minded guy and had you at the best offensive efficiency you had in your history of the franchise. I know it's not a long history. I know it's not an illustrious history. I know it still had them somewhere. I think it was 6th or 7th in the league with all that. I get all that, and I'm okay with good offense. I just don't buy the whole notion that you hire him and he's all of a sudden this savior that we think, oh my God, it's going to be so much great without any other additions to the roster.
Not only are the Hornets potentially going to hire Mike D'Antoni, they also may not give Miles Bridges a max contract. How panicked are you, one William Eugene Polacek, that Miles Bridges will not be on the Hornets roster come opening night this October?
I'm at a 15.
Oh, you actually think this is real?
I know it's line season. Jay Billis said it's line season. I'm aware it's line season, but given the way that they've talked about this, like they've made this mess. They could have given him the money last year. I'd have given him the money last year. But at the same time, we're looking at it right now and saying, okay, Detroit likes him. Phoenix likes him. There could be a mystery team that likes him. And this all could be just driving up the price for the Hornets. But the way that I'm looking at it, you know, I'd like this done by now. And the fact that it hasn't been done, and again, I know it's not the way it works in the NBA. You can only talk to guys. Although, you know, this is the thing. How many deals do we see happen, like, right when that, between that legal tampering period and, you know, all that stuff begins?
Yeah.
Like how often do we see those deals, like, right as the at the stroke of 12 or 4 or whatever the heck it is? I'm hoping that we see that deal made, or just, you know, you say he gets the max or whatever, but I have a feeling it's going to be a much longer process, and I don't know how much the Hornets are going to want to be trifled with on this.
I think it's fair to say that we've all liked this Panthers offseason. They addressed the offensive line.
Casey Steve says, Mike, MJ and D'Antoni are obviously meeting at Willie's house. That's funny. That's very funny. I got a lot of open space for them. I got no furniture yet, so go ahead. Go ahead.
So I think it's fair to say we've all liked what the Panthers have done this offseason. They upgraded the offensive line. There's more stability maybe at the quarterback position because you drafted a quarterback. But they did lose Hassan Reddick in free agency opposite Brian Burns. How panicked are you about the Panthers being able to adequately replace his production this upcoming season?
I'm at a 10. A lot of panic.
Yeah.
A lot of panic.
They want to do it by committee, and I think that's going to be the biggest issue. Is that committee good enough to replace 11 sacks?
I'm okay with Frankie Louvu as an ancillary piece. But the problem is, I don't know if you can use him on every down. Like, that's the part. Like, I don't know if Frankie Louvu is an every down linebacker right now. Or an every down edge rusher right now. And that's the part of it that I feel like is still yet to be answered. And I'd like somebody out there who's got, you know, more skins on the wall. And that's why I was surprised that when they brought in Carlos Dunlap, he didn't leave here with the deal.
Yeah.
And that and I'm not saying that he represents some kind of savior. And I also don't think he's the kind of player that Hassan Reddick is, especially at this point of his career. But he's somebody who knows how to rush the passer and somebody who you could, you know, I'm not saying he's an every down guy either, but he's somebody who at least has actual physical number or actual numbers you can point to and say, hey, this guy can get in the backfield and get home.
Matt and Gbro with a good one on the Garage Door Guru text line.
Easy
that
for
is
you to say.
How opinion are you about the Hornets making a trade for Russell Westbrook this offseason?
I'm at a 3. I don't. I'm not. Yeah. I'm not anti Westbrook like everybody else is.
Oh, I am.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm pro Westbrook if you hire Mike D'Antoni.
I'm pro Westbrook if it gets Gordon's money off the books, because that basically lessens the burden. I'm only okay with it if it gets rid of Gordon Hayward.
The issue is, what do you do with LaMelo? Russ needs the ball. LaMelo needs the ball, and you can't. You're not putting a guy who's making $47 million on the bench. And you're not putting LaMelo on the bench.
Something tells me that your savior, Mike D'Antoni, can figure out how to make those guys play nice. That's Mike D'Antoni's problem. That's not my problem.
Okay. Both last night in Major League Baseball, the Mets got clobbered by the Astros, and the Braves lost a slugfest at home to the Giants. The NL East lead is still 5.5 games for the Mets. How concerned are you about the Braves making that NL East more competitive, more compelling as we near the All-Star break of the MLB season?
I'm at a 1 right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because here's the thing.
Really, because our text chain after Met losses would reveal a different level of panic.
Because the Mets in a vacuum are nauseating to watch. That's why. But what I do feel like from where the schedule is for both these teams is that they're in kind of the volleyball portion of the schedule. It feels like if the Mets are playing a slappy, the Braves are playing somebody good, and vice versa. They actually are playing both two good teams right now, with the Astros on the Mets side and the Braves taking on the San Francisco Giants. But in my opinion, the division race doesn't really start for me
after the All-Star break
until July 11th. That is the next time these two teams face off in Atlanta for a 3-game series. And those are the games that will really tell the tale. I'll be panicked if they can beat the Mets head-to-head. That's what I'll be. It's what I'll be. Because I think both those teams will be able to handle their business against the ancillary other opponents. I think the Mets will take care of their business against the Marlins. I think the Braves will take care of the business against the Marlins. Phillies are fading. You know, I know they played very, very well here in the last little bit, but I don't see them as a real option and a real threat. I feel like it's these two teams' division to lose, but it won't be decided until they start playing with each other. And again, in August, They have a lot of action against each other in August. They got six. They've got nine games against each other in August.
Oh,
it's crazy because they got a five-gamer starting the 4th of August through the 7th because they got a doubleheader, and they got a four-game series just a week later in Atlanta. So there's plenty of options there for them. They'll play 12 times over the next 2 months.
Got time for two more here. You recently just purchased a home, and you are now in the process of furnishing your home. How panicked are you that you're going to get your home furnished in a timely fashion to have all of us over at your La Casa to try your meat?
I'm at a one right now because we did a lot of work over the weekend. Did a little bit of work yesterday. I feel like the house will be acceptable by the end of July. Whether or not that ends up being like fully done or not, I think it'll be all right. But I think it'll be fully acceptable by the end of July, which will allow for you guys to come over, say, you know, right before the football season starts.
Lastly, Willie, you are a guy that you care a lot about what other people think about you in a highly or negative way.
True.
How panicked are you about the neighbors thinking that since you work on Saturdays and sometimes Sundays, that you're a lame ass?
I'm gonna 11 there.
But you have a cool job, though. Lead with the cool job.
A very cool job. Our neighbor is a very big Charlotte FC fan, so when I told him what I do for a living, he was geeked out. I am worried that, you know, because we are on what I call a real party street. Seems like we are replacing an owner who I guess was kind of the party animal, if you will. A couple owners, they were very much the party animals. So we have a lot to live up to. And I want to be able to be. I don't know if the off season's long enough to be able to live up to that moniker.
What you got to do is you got to save your first house party for after we have Bailey's block party, and then just take notes, figure out what works, what doesn't work, then apply it to the Palachik party.
I didn't realize that Bailey has a block party too.
Yeah, he announced this last week.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, so we're gonna have dueling WFNZ host block party scenarios.
I'm excited because this might give a chance for Flounder and I to meet a woman or two.
Yeah, that could happen. It could happen. Although we have a lot of families, so I don't know if there's single ladies over in the burbs.
That's not going to deter me from any potential.
You are a degenerate. This is, as I said, please don't ever say anything to the contrary. This is the Nick Wilson Show on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ. That's a very good and very panicked version of Willie's panic meter. The Nooners, all the news headlines that you might need in Charlotte and around the country are next on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ.